Stephen Greenway, that's the correct way of saying it, history teacher.
Yes.
Do you want to first talk a little bit about yourself for a minute or so? And then, because you are actually also involved in helping students with the student admission at universities, especially for U.S. universities and colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to ask you also a few questions about that later on.
Okay, certainly. I studied at Colorado State University. I started a PhD program at the University of Colorado. I did not finish that program. A divorce made that financially impossible. I taught history at the University of Northern Colorado and Larimer County Community College for a number of years. I can't recall how many years.
But now you're working at LISA?
So now I am at the LISA. That's correct.
And you like it here?
I love it here. I came to LISA with a motive. I wanted to work somewhere where I could help prepare students for their college careers.
You've actually got a little success story, because you actually got one of our students, graduates, into a U.S. university. And what I want to ask you a little bit about is because you are also now acquainted with Austrian students who actually, where the university admission is quite different. What advice would you give to students that want to apply in the United States? Because the procedure, I think, is quite different than in other countries.
Number one, the procedure is remarkably different. And that alone adds complexity. So the first thing is the students have to, in advance, be proactive to investigate and inform themselves in terms of what this process looks like. On top of that, because they're Austrian, in this case, students, that international aspect makes their application a bit more complicated. It's absolutely doable, no problem, but it means the student often has to sort of jump through more hurdles
to get accepted into the, so it's not only a university admission, but it's also a visa issue.
That of course adds to it. Also, the visa issue is not a problem for an Austrian student applying to a U.S. university. Mm-hmm. The visa is simply a matter of going through the process.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, international students have to go through more process steps.
Mm-hmm.
than U.S. students.
So, for example, getting documents translated?
Translated, for example. Okay. Documents translated. Some universities, this is getting better in the United States, but some universities aren't quite as equipped to handle international applications, and so there might be glitches and that. But often it's simply a matter of getting things translated.
So step one, students should inform themselves.
Absolutely.
What is about the right time to start thinking about? It's not so often that we have students who want to study in the U.S., but in the last couple of years, this has happened a few times already.
They need to be informing themselves early in their in seventh grade.
Seventh grade, so that's 11th grade, so that's already actually a way than almost 1.5 or 2 years before.
Yeah. They need to know exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it when they start the eighth grade, because these applications come due in the fall semester of their last year of high school.
So
the fall semester prior to the year of admission is when these applications start coming due.
Okay. Well, because most students who study in Austria, they think about what to study much later on, because in the Austrian university system, you just basically go there and you have to do an admission test in for medicine or so, but ultimately it's much later. So, but United, and is it different? Is there or similar to applying to the United Kingdom? Because in the United Kingdom, you have the UCAS system.
It's very similar.
And do you also have a central website for the United States?
You do, but not all universities use it.
Okay.
And that's another really important point when applying to universities in the United States. Every university has a different process.
Mm-hmm.
They're similar, often very similar, in some cases very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, what the student needs to do is create a list of universities they're interested in. And I've heard you tell students before is to be careful to do this in sort of a pyramid structure.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just apply to Harvard.
Yeah,
because if you don't get into Harvard, now what?
As a matter of fact, a few years ago, there was a student who applied, and she applied at Princeton, Harvard, Yale, the top universities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that she was a bad student, certainly not. But I mean, it's kind of risky to apply.
It's very risky.
Only to the top universities.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's my suspicion is that maybe that she didn't. That these were the ones that they were always in the media. That's why you hear about them.
Sure.
But there are a whole bunch of good universities that are much less expensive, difficult and expensive to get in. Yeah.
Well, give the students an example. New York City has 100 universities and colleges.
New York City alone, 100
universities and colleges.
Yeah.
The university system in the United States is much more extensive than in any nation in Europe. It's driven by finances. And so these are businesses, and they're successful businesses. The business model is very successful, so we find them. And there's much more emphasis on coming out of high school and getting admitted into university. And so the system is much more extensive in terms of the amount of
universities. Is there anything general that all of these universities require? I mean, for example, recommendation letters.
Sure.
I mean, that's something that's not so common in Austria, but I think that's something that's quite important in the U.S. Is this something you can say something
here? Generally speaking, what and this is general because the university system is kind of going through a phase change right now. And they're, how I had to apply to the university in the 1980s, and again, in the early 1990s, is very different than now. Things are changing, but some things are relatively consistent. Number one is they place a lot of emphasis on your grades, your high school grades.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear the term grade point average.
Yes.
They want to know the average grade. And then because you're an international student, you'll have to be a translation of how the grades work. Number two, as you mentioned, they tend to place enormous value on letters, plural, of recommendation. And so now students be very careful. When they ask, for example, a teacher to write a letter of recommendation, they need to make sure that the teacher understands how important this letter is.
And what, is actually,
and what it needs to say.
Mm-hmm.
What it needs to say. Because if you're asking a European teacher to write a letter of recommendation for a U.S. university, they might not quite understand the gravity of what they're being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
So just be clear.
Okay.
About that. Another thing that they're going to place an enormous amount of emphasis on in most universities now is something that we call either a personal statement or a letter of intent, or they might ask you to write an essay. They want to see a number of things. Can you follow directions? Can you write in an academic, professional manner?
Okay.
Can you sell yourself?
Okay.
And so, again, this adds to the process steps.
I think one thing that, I don't know if it's a stereotype, but what I've heard is that many Austrians or maybe also German-speaking students don't know how to sell themselves. They're
that's
too
correct.
Humble. Would you actually see it a similar view?
Yes, you know, I think I help students. I also teach English at the Fachhochschule in Wels, and I do help students there that are, for various reasons, writing applications, whether they're professional applications or college admission applications to universities in America. And one learning curve for them is this idea that in the United States, you are expected to sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand this. There's a structural way we do this. We look for action verbs and things like that. But at the same time, you have to walk this fine line of not overselling yourself, you know? And so there is an art to doing this. That's normally more important when you're applying for a job.
Okay.
And at the university, the types of essays they tend to ask for, the types of letters of intent or interest, whatever they're going to call it, don't expect as much of a sales pitch.
Okay.
Not as much.
SATs, the Scholastic Aptitude Test, is a standardized multiple choice test. I think it has a verbal part and a math part.
Mm-hmm.
Is this also a requirement for most for international students that want to apply in the U.S.?
Great question. It used to be in the United States when I was applying for university, coming out of high school, you had to have an SAT score or an ACT score, which is another standardized test. Now a lot of universities are placing less emphasis on that score or not even requiring it. We're starting to see that shift. In terms of international students, what normally happens is if the SAT or ACT score is required, they won't require it for international students.
Okay.
They won't.
Okay. Occasionally, just for the listeners a little bit, is if this is required, there are test centers in Vienna where students can go to actually do those standardized tests.
Mm-hmm.
And then because these are official test centers, I think some private schools in Vienna are offering this because they have a large number of students who actually want to go to the United States. Then you have to sign up there, you have to pay there, and then the organization will actually send the points directly to the university.
That's how that works, correct.
Yes. Yeah.
So it is possible in Austria to get to take, as you're saying, I'm certain you can take an SAT score. I'm not an SAT exam. I'm not sure about an ACT. I have to say, I contacted the the organization that runs the SAT exam, mm-hmm. I contacted them on multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. The question being, how do I arrange the or create or make the LISA a testing center? I never heard back. I emailed, I called. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I finally got to speak to someone, I got put on hold.
Okay, I see.
And then things got busy for me. I didn't have time to pursue it, but I'm going to continue to try to pursue that. But the key thing with an international student is, number one, find out if you, as an international, are required to take that exam. Yeah. If not, then don't worry about it.
I heard that universities and colleges in the United States can be quite expensive. What is your take on that? Are the financing models in place that kind of help out students and graduates of our school to actually be to afford the tuition fee, and how high can tuition fees be?
Okay.
And because students kind of expect we're kind of a little bit in this Austrian bubble here, or European bubble, where universities are free, but some students actually, they want to go abroad to the United States and are also willing to pay. How high can those tuition fees be, and what is this?
So here's how it works. Number one, the universities in the United States are expensive. Generally speaking, the higher the quality of the university, the higher the price. That's a general correlation. At the same time, the universities have processes and funds in place to try to take the financial burden off or out of the hands of the student. I'll give you an example. I have twin daughters, and they're in this process right now. One of my daughters, Anna, has applied to and been accepted at Colorado State University. This is where I went to school. This is a mid-range state university, mid in terms of expense, and she'll spend $40,000 a year to go to school there. Now, let me finish what I'm saying. The cost for her first year of university will be $40,000. That includes university tuition fees. That includes room and board as a first-year student. This is typical in the United States. You're required to live in a dormitory on campus.
So $40,000 for a year.
For a
and
year.
How long will it
take? 4 years for a bachelor's degree in the United States.
So that means $40,000
That's times correct.
Four.
That's correct.
$16,000.
That's correct. Now,
dollars.
Now let me continue on this.
Well, wait, 16, 16, 40, 40,000.
Times four.
That's 160,000.
For a bachelor's degree.
For a bachelor's degree.
At a mid-range university.
160,000.
Includes room and board, books, you name it.
That's a small apartment.
That's correct. That's a house. So what happens in America is students graduate with a bachelor's degree, and they have the equivalent debt as if they bought a house. And you can see where that leads to problems. But in terms of your question, now, at the same time, my daughter Anna has been guaranteed for the first year that about half of this cost has been taken over by various agencies. And this is all part of the student application process. Mm-hmm. And when you apply to University of the United States, number one, you apply to be accepted in the various universities. Number two, you apply for financial aid. Mm-hmm. These processes normally go sort of hand in hand. Okay, and so my daughter Anna was accepted at Colorado State University. She then started her financial aid applications, and within a couple of months, she was guaranteed that about half of this cost would be deferred, essentially, be picked up from various agencies.
Mm-hmm. You've got to be eligible for that, right?
Correct. And that eligibility is based on a number of factors, but it's based on your ability to pay. I, as a parent, was involved in the financial aid process. They want to know how much I own, what kind of properties I own. Can I sell a house to pay for my daughter's college education? Absolutely, yeah. And then they basically come up with a figure, how much can the parents invest.
So it's not like this. That actually, it's like a. It's you're not talking about a scholarship now.
No. We haven't even gotten talking about scholarships yet. This is all public funding that's available to students, and it's based ostensibly on need. Okay.
Okay.
This isn't based on the quality of the student's academic performance yet. This is just based on need.
Okay.
And so my daughter was given this funding simply based on need. Mm-hmm. Both her parents are school teachers. Mm-hmm. We don't own a lot of things that we can. Mm-hmm. Sell, mortgage to finance our college, mm-hmm. our daughter's college careers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you get into the process of applying for merit-based scholarships, which can in itself, this is a whole another process and can comes with its complexities, letters of recommendation,
mm-hmm.
letters of intent, essays, et cetera, et cetera.
And then a good GPA, good grade point average, and then basically you might get actual payment,
sure.
And so you don't have to pay the full fee.
I finished a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and paid for the first 2 years of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was able to, luckily and through hard work, get merit-based scholarships mm-hmm. that covered my costs. But you have to go through the process of, you have to find those scholarships mm-hmm. and apply for them.
I'm going to ask you now a difficult question. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? I know whether something is worth it or not is highly individual. I understand it's not only the education, it's the where you live, and I understand all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I deliberately make it that blatant and that generalizing and that open. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it going through this complex admission process, the uncertainty of being admitted, once admitted, a certain financial risk?
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are students that are willing to do that
because
they want to go there. Austrian students. So what is your... we got free university here in Austria, in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Why do it?
Why do it?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Even though I have American last name and an American accent, I grew up in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I was 19 when I decided... I had two passports, but I had never been to America. I was 19 when I got on an airplane and flew to go to the University of the United States, a country I'd never been to.
Mm-hmm.
I had an American passport, and that was it. And it was the best experience of my life, not going to America, but going to another nation, another country, another culture, because this was a foreign culture, I mean, to study.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I always suggest to students, if they want to broaden their horizons, that they study internationally. Now, specifically to the United States... I would argue that the university system in the United States is expensive. I would also argue that it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The facilities available at the run-of-the-mill U.S. university, state university, this might offend some listeners, but it's far superior to what you find in universities in Europe. These are businesses. They bring in enormous amounts of money, but they have to compete for business, for students. And one way they compete is by creating an environment that attracts students. This environment has everything. These are small towns. The first university I went to is the largest campus in the United States in terms of size. If you walk corner to corner on the main campus, and they were on multiple campuses, it took 45 minutes to walk from corner to corner. It was enormous. And with this enormity comes just every conceivable facility. Now, what that does is it attracts quality staff. So not only are you getting a high-quality facility, this high-quality facility brings in high-quality people to work there, mm-hmm. to interact with the students, to instruct the students, to work with the students. Of course, you're going to go to the University of the United States and have a crappy professor. I did. But I can also tell you, I went to the United States, to universities in the United States, and I had some of the most amazing intellectual learning experiences of my life. And so is it worth it? Absolutely. Is it risky? Of course. But, you know, do a year. Do an exchange program. Do something. You know, there are lots of ways to get your foot into the university.
Maybe I'm going to also talk a little bit from a personal perspective. I did not study in the United States, mm-hmm. but my sister actually went there. She completed her master's degree in Vienna, at the University of Vienna, Magister.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically went, but before she completed that, she went on an Erasmus exchange semester
mm-hmm.
To the United States.
Perfect.
Checked out the university there, got letters of recommendation there. And then applied at that university and then did a second master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And she also got a scholarship because then she already had something contact and things to show.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation that sometimes I give to students, I don't maybe you agree or not, is if for whatever reason it doesn't work out right now,
mm-hmm. absolutely,
to go to the university or the country that you want to go, you've not lost anything. then do your bachelor's degree, let's say in Austria here, after a couple of years, you know what you want, and mm-hmm. then maybe with a little bit, you're a little bit smarter, and you know what you want, and then maybe then you can apply somewhere else, and maybe the chance of being accepted is even higher then, mm-hmm. because you then know a little bit more what you actually want, and you're also a little bit more mature, maybe, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You would, no, I see exactly what you're saying, and I agree. And one thing, if I could add in this on this note, is you know my experience as both a longtime student and then a staff member at a university is the universities I interacted with or had relationships with all had extensive programs to facilitate the admission and then make it easier for international students to succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, my classrooms, I taught history, and I'd have 265 students per class, and you had a lot of Asian faces, you had a lot of people from the Middle East, particularly Saudi Arabia, not so many Europeans, but the point is, you know, these universities all have an office that, it'll have a different name, but it'll be something about international students, and if you Google that office, and you make a phone call, you send an email, you are immediately going to start getting help, because always remember, you're their customer.
Exactly.
And they treat you that way. You're a customer and they want your money. And so you get treated that way. You know, this the customer is always right, and this sales part of American culture, you see it in the university. Without being overbearing, they are going to make an effort to mm-hmm. facilitate your admission if you meet the admission requirements, because in the end, you're a customer and you represent
and it's quite,
income.
Yes. Quite yeah. different from what the experience that I had here
Absolutely.
In Austria, because here in Austria university is free, everyone has a right actually to mm-hmm. Too many students sometimes, and they want to make it difficult now. So for example, give a personal example, they made us stand in line for 5 hours when I signed up at the University of Vienna, because it didn't open more counters. And why did they not do that? Because you don't want to make... Yeah, of course.
Some and people are going to get up and leave.
Yeah, some people left.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that's grand.
So that is actually... I think this was actually a strategy. I mean, this was back in 1991. I'm not claiming it's now the same way, but nowadays you have a pre-registration where you do this over the internet and so on. Mm-hmm. But there was at least... it was very clear at that time that they tried to not deliberately not be so welcoming. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that... if you don't know that this is kind of part of the game, mm-hmm. Then you're easily frustrated.
Sure.
Because you just graduated with a Matura and or IB diploma program, mm-hmm. And then you kind of expect like the whole world is going to welcome you.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you line up there behind the counter and actually nobody really cares.
Yeah.
Not only that, they try deliberately to reduce students.
Sure.
So I always say this, it's quite different, and this is some kind of I think it requires a little bit of flexibility to actually, depending on which university or which organization you want to go to, mm-hmm. You got to adapt to the needs and the requirements of what they basically expect.
Sure.
Of you.
Can I throw one more thing out there?
Please,
I think it's really important. You know, a lot of what's been said might make students uncomfortable or dissuade students from applying to universities in the United States, but we have to remember, number one, we're talking to a LISA audience, and here at the LISA, we're creating a system to help students with this process. And number two, as you mentioned at the outset, and this is important, we've had some success, and without naming any names or getting into specifics, we had a student an international student, who on paper presented a lot of possible problems for an admission mm-hmm. to a university in the United States. The student was essentially a refugee. Mm-hmm. He had gaps in his CV. He had gaps. You know, I'm getting emails, why don't we have a transcript for the 10th grade, this sort of thing. And this student wrote, with help and guidance, an outstanding number of letters of interest and intent and that sort of thing, and went through this entire process, which was very complex for this student. And in the end, he was admitted to a university and subsequently has been given what appears to be a relatively generous funding package, which should make this feasible. Mm-hmm. So it looks daunting, but it's absolutely doable. This student, the process was probably about 5-month intensive process. Unfortunately, he'd sort of put things off to the last minute. So what happened was it became 4 to 5 months of intense effort, which then, of course, resulted in success.
Yeah. And if you are interested in studying abroad, specifically to the United States, please talk to Mr. Stephen Greenway. Mm-hmm. And he is our academic counselor in the university. What is your official
title? University admissions advisor.
University admissions advisor, almost a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is.
Here to Lisa.
Okay. We're still figuring out titles. Yeah. This is all work in progress. But not only for the United States, the whole idea here is if you're dealing with an international application, come to me, and if I can't help you, then we'll find someone on the staff who can. Yeah. And that's kind of how that's supposed to work.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Actually, this interview now lasted a little bit longer than I intended, but I think it's quite useful and quite interesting.
Grand.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.